Thank you, team. Well, so today, I'm excited that we are starting a brand new sermon series, and I'm calling it Guard Your Heart, How the Bible's Design for Spiritual Wholeness Holds the Key to Mental Health. And some of you saw the series title, Guard Your Heart. You're going to be really disappointed. I'm so sorry. This is not a message about Valentine's Day. I know it's the one year that Valentine's Day falls on a Sunday. Maybe I should have taken advantage of this, but I'm so sorry. We're not going to talk about it. But if you do want to see some of what the Bible says about healthy marriages and relationships or singleness, I'll just point you to some resources on Right Now Media. You are eligible for a free subscription. There's a lot of really great seminars and other resources all available. You'll find it on our website if you want. So you can check that out for Valentine's Day stuff, because we're not really going to talk about that much. But don't change the channel, because today we're going to look at what the Bible says that could help us out in a crisis that just seems to be getting worse every day. There's something that's going on that's affecting all of us. And here's why I'm really hopeful. God created people. He knows how our minds and hearts work. And he gives us knowledge to learn about something we really need help in. And I'm excited to talk about the topic, because I'm convinced that if we can hear and apply what God says to us about how to think and how to live, like, I'm not exaggerating here. This topic and series has a potential not to just help us, but help people around us help a massive problem right now that most people are just starting to figure out. And I'm really excited about this, because I think that what God is going to tell us in the next couple weeks has a potential to, I'm not exaggerating, save lives, to help communities and families in really profound ways. In fact, I'll just say this, if this is helpful for you or people you know, I'd encourage you to share this. You can hit the share button on Facebook or text a website to somebody. Adam is going to edit and post this video online in a more accessible way in a bit, but I don't want to miss this. We do have a handout with more information in the bulletin online with more information and data, but here it is. In the next couple weeks, we're asking the Bible a really simple question. It goes like this: God, what could you have to help us deal with what the Bible calls storms, a huge topic in the Bible, or what a lot of folks talk about as the historical mental health crisis? We need to figure this out. I'm not by any stretch an expert in diagnosing mental health, but I just feel like it seems like stress and anxiety and fear and worry, like it's not getting better right now. And it's really starting to affect us and people we love. Here's how the CDC describes something that you've probably seen up close and firsthand. The CDC website says that the COVID-19 pandemic has had a major effect on our lives. Oh, good. Like we didn't know that. Many of us are facing challenges that can be stressful, overwhelming, and can cause strong emotions in adults and children. Public health actions, such as social distancing, are necessary to reduce the spread of COVID-19, but they can make us feel isolated and lonely and can increase stress and anxiety. Most of you are like, duh. Thanks for pulling out the big guns, right? I need to look that up on the website to see if it's true. No. My six-year-old could have told you all that, so I'm not going to tell you much more about that, because you already know about how tough this year has been for our shut-ins, right? I'm not going to talk a lot about how dangerous it is to be lonely or document the terrifying rise in our community of drug overdoses or substance abuse or suicides. I'm not going to talk too much about family conflicts or polarization or domestic issues. I'm not even going to talk too much about all the studies that talk about how many marriages on Valentine's Day are heading toward divorce. Or, you know, one of the later stories I discovered is there's an article in Forbes about how the mental health crisis has sort of overflown from, like, kids and parents and adults. Now it's like the therapists that are burning out. None of you look shocked. And you might think, we've got faith. Storms don't rock houses with good foundations. And you might be right. But as someone who thinks a lot about this, and I talk to a lot of folks in church, I've actually discovered some of that to be true. A strong faith and good support system might be the two biggest things that seem to help people right now, which is a big reason why our church has been working so hard this year. But, you know, storms and stress affects everybody. And the Bible is, I don't want to say it's, the Bible is really realistic about it. And as we start looking at Scripture, the Bible doesn't use the same medical language as you might be familiar with to describe brokenness. This was 2,000 years, 4,000 years ago, whatever part of the book you're in. So let me just give you some more clinical language as we start asking the question from Scripture, looking for help. Actually, I'm just going to keep reading from the CDC website. They know a little bit about this. Tell me if you recognize some of these symptoms. I'm just going to list them for you. Have you or someone you know experienced one of these in the past 11 months? Stress, the CDC says, stress can cause some of the following. Feelings of fear, anger, sadness, worry, numbness, or frustration. Changes in appetite, energy, desires, interest. Stress can cause difficulty in concentrating and making decisions. Stress can cause difficulty sleeping. It can cause nightmares. Stress can cause physical reactions, headaches, body pains, stomach problems, skin rashes, worsening of chronic health problems, the CDC says, worsening of mental health conditions, increasing use of tobacco, alcohol, and other substances. Look, don't raise your hands. I don't want to out anybody, but let's just be real. Who among us haven't had one or more of these symptoms true of us in the last 11 months? I mean, I sure have. Like, I've even had, what was the first one? Fears of anger and worry just about stuff the CDC says, right? I'll point out, though, this is a big problem. And we need to see what God says about how to have emotional, spiritual, and mental health when it just seems like so many of us and the people that we really care about are starting to show cracks from the weight and exhaustion of this season. And we're all going to be better off if we can see what God says. I mean, God who made us, see what God says about how to be mentally healthy. Now, where I'm going to start today, and the bulk of my time today, is going to be spent looking at what the Bible says about how God made us. And I'll pause and say, I'm just so encouraged to see how many of you have been reading through God's word. And I just love seeing how God is able to use his word to help us through this. And I told you, I'd be honest with you, I'm not proud of this, but I'm about 3 days behind in my Bible in the year schedule. So it's not great, but don't worry too much about me. I'm going to catch up. But anyway, a lot of us started last month reading Genesis. And God makes this world, and it's good. And if you read the first chapters of Genesis, it's healthy, it's good. God looks at everything that he just made, the sky, the sea, animals, people. And if you remember, he says, this is good. In fact, I'll read verse 27 of Genesis 1. The Bible says, God created mankind. In his own image, in the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And I'm going to call some of what I'm talking about doctrinal points, which is my way of saying there's a lot of verses that back up what I'm going to say. I'm just not going to read them all for you. But the Bible teaches that humanity was originally created perfectly healthy and whole, complete and healthy. Physically and mentally. There was no sickness, which is really hard to wrap your head around being human before death. But that's how it was. Can you imagine a world without any health issues any issues? Like there weren't any relational issues? Imagine a world where communication was always clear, a world without miscommunication or power grabs or worry or fear. Imagine a world without greed or laziness. That's what the Garden of Eden was like. It was paradise. It was complete and healthy. And again, we could have a series of messages about this, but by Genesis 3, sin enters into the perfect world that God made. You could read Genesis 3 if you want. But because of sin, death enters the world, which is a crazy thing to think about, right? There was no such concept of dying before sin messed things up. And all of a sudden, being unhealthy became part of being human. The ground gets cursed, like weeds start growing. You can hardly imagine the Garden of Eden, right? Before Genesis 3, you know, just Doritos grew on trees or whatever. Now you've got weeds everywhere. And now pests devour. Actually, I laughed. I typed my manuscripts, and as I typed that line I just said, a stink bug crawled on my cursor. Like, and do you know why there's stink bugs that crawl on my computer monitor out of nowhere? The fall. Things are messed up. Let me just read some verses about, well, the world that we know, the curse. Genesis 3:19, God says, Adam, by the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground. In other words, you're going to eat, then you're going to die. For from it you are taken, for dust you are, and to dust you return. This is the introduction to the concept of death from perfect humans. All of a sudden, like, things got worse. Like, before the fall, Murphy didn't have a law. The best possible thing always happened. Before the fall, there was, like, never a reason to be cynical. The whole dust-to-dust thing, you get what that is, right? That's death. Only after the fall did, like, people die. And not just die, like, eventually humans start dying. Like, it wasn't always like this, but after Genesis 3, to be human, to be alive, is to start dying. Like, that's just how it is. The fall affects every part of human life. There is nothing that is untouched by depravity. You see this everywhere. Like, this is the world that we're used to. Healthy food tastes terrible. Beer and pub cheese isn't good for you, right? That's just part of the fall. Now we're vulnerable to cancer, to viruses, to sprains, to tendonitis, arthritis. You know, I put Article 14 of the Belgic Confession in your program if you want a more theologically nuanced take. I'm not going to read it out loud for you, but it's a simple point. Our bodies are broken. We're all going to break down eventually. And we're vulnerable to physical sickness, but also our hearts are functionally broken. And I don't mean that we're sad sometimes. What I mean by that is we're all prone to be a little bit emotionally and emotionally dysfunctional. Our heads are messed up. This is one part of the Christian tradition that we would love to gloss over or forget. We like to cover it up, but it's still true. Here are some verses. This is Genesis 6:5. So this is not that long after Genesis 3. The Lord looks at people and saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Check this out. This is what's true of people. That every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Let's take Romans 7, verse 18. Paul writes, I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is my flesh. And if you missed that, let me say it again. This is St. Paul, who's called Saint, right? He says, I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. Or Jeremiah 17:9. Here's what God says about our hearts. He says, the heart is deceitful above all things. The heart is desperately sick. Who can understand it? And again, I could spend a sermon just talking about these three verses. There's a lot to unpack, more than I could talk about right now. But the Christian position isn't that we're always mentally healthy and our hearts are in the right place. The Bible actually says the direct opposite. that to be human means to have hearts that are broken and sick, which is another way, it's deceitful too, which is another way of saying that the people whose hearts are the sickest are also the ones who have no idea that they're all messed up. And Reformed theology has a big toolbox to talk about this. The Reformers talk about the noetic effects of sin, which is say we don't look at things with the right perspective. We see the world through broken glasses, the Reformers might say. And we really need God's light to blast through it. And forgive my tangent. This is controversial. This isn't really in the confessions or anything. But I've noticed that most people I know are humble enough to admit when they need physical medical attention, right? Most people I know, with some exceptions, you will go to the doctor eventually, some sooner than others. There's not a lot of shame in Christian circles for getting a cast on a broken arm or for taking antibiotics for an infection or taking medication for your blood pressure if your physical heart has issues. In fact, to be honest, most people I know are really comfortable talking about physical health issues. Some of you are too healthy, to be honest with you, which we should be. Like, having physical unhealth is part of being human. But for some reasons, I've just noticed in Christian circles, there's no shame in having a broken arm. But somehow there's a lot of shame for people who find that they need help with mental health. Which is terrible, because what happens next is there's people who don't get help until it's too late. There's some folks who never get help. Actually, you know, I remember when I was in college, I had a professor, it was a Christian school, and I was in a psychology class, and it was a long, complicated lecture on about how, because of Genesis 3, humans were generally prone to mental unhealth. And man, therapy is a huge field. It's complicated. I didn't study it all as much as I'd like to, but there's brain chemistry, there's imbalances, and the lecture was about how hard it is for therapists to figure out for something like anxiety or depression, how much of it is a chemical imbalance, and how is it a thinking pattern thing, or trauma, or bad cycles. Super complicated topic. What I remember from that lecture is what happened after the class. One student comes to the teacher's desk to pick a fight, and we wanted to watch, because that's a good thing. The fight went this way. The student thought that it was wrong to ever have to take medication for brain chemical imbalances. And what the student said, look, we're Christians, faith and prayer should be enough for anxiety and depression. And she said, teacher, if God made someone struggling with a chemical imbalance, they ought to just live with it. And the professor, not his first time having to deal with this, said, look, so just to be clear here, your position, and I want to get it right, that God made people with everything that they made to be healthy, and they don't need prescribed assistance. And the student didn't think it through. He goes, yeah, that's it. Christians should trust God and have faith, and they never should need to take medication for chemical imbalance or anything. And the professor's like, okay, great. Let's live in your world for a second. Can I have your glasses, please? Let's crush them and flush them down the toilet. And the student's like, what? What? No. I am as blind as a bat without my glasses. In fact, if I didn't have them, I wouldn't be able to drive home. I'd get in a car crash and die. Don't take my glasses away. And the professor's like, what? You just told me that God made you with what you need to be healthy, and you don't need anything to be prescribed to you. Give me your glasses. And the student walked away wearing glasses, and everybody watching got the point. We're all messed up. Because of the fall, we've got broken bodies, we've got broken hearts. Weeds grow in my vegetable garden. Cars rust, our bodies and minds break down, and we're all human, which is to be vulnerable to unhealth. And what we do is we use the best tools that God gives us to cope with life in a fallen world. That's my opinion. We could talk about it, but I don't think things can get better unless we come to grips with the fact that we are fallen humans and we should pursue health. physical and mental. Because I'm convinced talking to people at home and jobs and communities, this has been a tough 11 months. Cracks are starting to show. And I'm convinced we just cannot any longer ignore how sick we are. So the first thing the Bible says about mental health, and it says this more than I have time to talk about right now, but we're not by default healthy. We have sick hearts, we have bodies that are literally dying right now. And as hard and as humbling as it might to admit this about ourselves, we need help. We need to admit it in order to deal with stress in a more mentally, emotionally, spiritually healthy way. And that's what we're going to spend the next month or so talking about. The Bible has so much to say. But let me just give you a couple other points, because I don't want to just talk about how messed up we are and leave it there. But let me just talk really quickly about who we are. In the story of the Bible, you know, it doesn't end in Genesis 3, right? There's a couple more pages here. What plays out in the rest of the storyline and is finally answered in the cross of Jesus is that by us belonging to Christ and following him, we change. Like, part of what we're going to talk about is the fact that Jesus reverses the curse. To find every place where sin affects us and turn it around, to change lies to truth, deception to transparency, to change death and dying to eternal life and abundant living. And a big part of the Christian life is what theologians call progressive sanctification. In other words, as we follow Christ, we slowly become more like Jesus and less like our fallen humanity, because part of following Jesus is changing us. Like, in fact, worship should change us. It's hard to measure these things, but we all should be a little bit more like Jesus as a result of worshiping God this morning. And to be clear, faith doesn't always give us immediate health. Go see the doctor if you need to. But let me just give you a preview of what God does in our hearts. Very familiar verse, but I want you to think about what the end product of God working in us looks like. I'm just going to read the verse. And I want you to think about what sort of changes would look like. This is Galatians 5:22, very familiar. The fruit of the Spirit. In other words, the result of what God is doing in you is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. Next part of the verse says, against such things there is no law. Now, look at those words there. I want to elaborate on them. This is how another Bible translation, The Message, communicates each of these things. Love, what's that mean? An affection for others, joy, exuberance about life, peace, serenity, you know what peace is. Patience is defined as a willing to stick with things even when it gets hard. Kindness is a sense of compassion in the heart. Goodness, a conviction that basic holiness permeates things and people. Faithfulness, being involved in loyal commitments, gentleness, not needing to force our way in life, self-control, which is the ability to marshal and direct our energies in a wise way. You know, this starts to paint a picture of mental and spiritual health, which is what God is working in our lives to accomplish. And look, I'll be the first to admit, God is not finished with me yet. And I think he's got a way to go in all of us before we are holy like Christ. So we're going to talk about that, how God works these fruits in our lives. But I am, man, I'm excited to talk about these things in the future, but I don't want to skip over, we talked about creation fall a little bit. I want to talk about one other thing from the first chapters of Genesis, because you're going to learn something about God here. If you go all the way back to creation, right, we talked about this. God makes everything in 6 days, says it's good. And on the seventh day, God does what? Rested, right? Sabbath just means rest. which of course becomes a big commandment in the Bible. It makes the Ten Commandments, which is a little bit funny when you read it. Like, you got a list of commandments like obey God, don't kill people, don't rest. And a lot of us are like, wait, one of these things are not like the other. Don't kill people, worship God, rest, really? That's on the list of 10? And it may seem a little bit old-fashioned. Some of us were raised with really strict Sabbatarianism, and some of us think by default that Sabbath-keeping is a duty that we do to make God happy. But when Jesus talks about the Sabbath, he says something that's really insightful. This is Mark 2:27, and Jesus is talking to people who are really upset with him because people are accusing Jesus of breaking the Sabbath. So Jesus says this: the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. In other words, rest isn't something you go, all right, God, I did something to make you happy, not me. That's not it at all. Rest, excuse me, sorry about that. Sabbath is about God giving you something to make you happy. Rest is really to help you out, not to somehow please God's list of demands. And another tangent I can't get onto, but God rested before the fall, which tells you that resting is part of being healthy even before the curse. Also, I'll say this, it shouldn't surprise you at all that Sabbath, and we're going to talk about what that means, but it shouldn't surprise you that this practice has been discovered to be exactly what people need to be mentally healthy. Now, I know I've studied the Bible a lot. I don't know that much about medicine or diseases, but you would expect that since God is the one that created us, you would expect that people who study us, like our human bodies, you would expect that people who study medicine might discover that God knows what he's talking about. And that's exactly what you find. In fact, here's what the CDC says about how to deal with mental health, especially this year. I printed this in your bulletin. But the number one CDC guideline for dealing with stress and mental health this year is, well, it's basically rest. I think I put it in your notes. Take breaks, it says. On 6 days shall we work, but on the seventh, no, it doesn't say that. But it says, think about limiting news to just a couple times a day. Turn your phone off, the CDC says. Rest. Next line, I think, says, take care of your body. And it literally says, get plenty of sleep. Avoid excessive alcohol and tobacco and substance use. Rest. The CDC says, take time, relaxing, doing things you enjoy. Like, this is fascinating. Basically, science has discovered that the first thing you can do to help become mentally healthy when you're stressed is rest. Keep Sabbath. Like you can read all the CDC guidelines. The first half of it is basically do what God told you to do, which is fascinating to me. The day after God made people, he says what you have to do to be mentally healthy. We'll talk more about Sabbath a little bit later. Right now, I just think it's sort of funny how it works. We'll talk more about this later, but it is the healthy exercise of what the psalm says. Be still. And know that God is God. He'll be exalted in the nations. He'll be exalted in the earth. Like, here's what you need to do to be able to de-stress and function. You need to rest. Know what's true. I cannot hold the whole world in my hands. I cannot bear the weight of everything I read in the news, but you know who can? God. Which means we could sleep at night. I should not have to run away into substances or sin. I can rest and recognize that God is on the throne. That's what Sabbath is about. And while I'm reading verbatim from the CDC guidelines, I'm just going to read the last half of the guidance about how they're recommending to be emotionally healthy. You have this in your notes, I think. So the next one is says connect with others. Talk to people that you trust about your concerns and how you're feeling. And again, I am not a CDC apologist. I've had plenty of differences and criticisms of some of their recommendations this year. And I don't typically stand here and express confidence in the government, but like, I just can't get over this. The medical scientific community has discovered, from studying the world that God made, some of the exact same things that we've been saying from the Bible like for months now, right? Like in March, you all watched me on screens saying how important connecting with people was. We've been saying connect with people, join virtual Bible studies, sign cards in the back, make comments online. Like the first day we were closed, we sent you all church directories and said, call people, connect with others, and be honest about it. I mean, it's almost comical. This is exactly what God designed churches to do. A funny story, one of our shut-ins, Anita Dollar, she's fantastic. She's in nursing home upstate. She's not in the building right now, obviously. And I talked to her son Marcus for a while this week. It's really hard, as you can imagine, being shut in. And I think he said one of the staff members on her floor tested positive for the virus, so she's stuck in a room more than she wants to be. And she is hard to talk to on the phone. But what Marcus said, that if today is like most Sundays, she's able to watch our services on her tablet. And what Marcus said is that some of you can watch her pop in on Facebook, and some of you will see her watch and go, hi, Anita. And she cannot figure out how to type on this little tablet, but she loves it when you do that. And there she is, stuck in her room, feeling like she's connected to this church, and she feels more healthy even if she's stuck in her room. So I should say, hi, Anita. Like, how cool is it that we can do this? I'm going to read one more CDC recommendation here. The last one, this is so funny. Oh, man, so here's what the CDC tells you to do. Connect with your community or faith-based organization. While social distancing measures are in place, try connecting online through social media or by phone or mail. This sounds like something I say a bunch, right? How funny is this, that the government guidelines to be mentally healthy is basically go to church, online or on site. And the reason they say connect with faith-based organizations like churches is that it's been proven that gathering together with faithful people helps you. And I just find this fascinating, that what doctors and scientists have discovered, no one should be surprised here, that people who do what God told them to do, who connect with others, who gather together, those are the folks who are most likely to cope with stress in difficult times. And look, everybody should do what God's word tells them to do, to rest and to connect with others. And look, I'm excited about this. We've got a ton to talk about here. I'm not speaking next week. Dave Lyon will be back, but I'll be back the week after that, because we've got a lot of work to do to get on a better path to emotional, spiritual, and mental health. And that work, look, it looks an awful lot like something we should be good at. Being faithful church members, following the word of God, and being people who are willing to follow and honor the God that has the world in his hands. So Father in heaven, I thank you for the wisdom that you've given us through your word. I pray that you would help us to follow it. May we keep the Sabbath as you've commanded. May we rest from our worries and anxiety. Can we worship you? And not just one day a week, may this be part of our regular practice. And Father, as we do so, can you help us to connect with others? Help us be honest and give us the humility to be vulnerable when we're going through rough times. And can you help this church be a place where it is safe to talk about our weaknesses, and a place where we've learned to be supportive and patient and kind? And as a result, can you both help us to be healthy, but can you also equip us to help those around us who are stressed and fearful and exhausted and maybe even starting to crack? Can you use us as instruments in your hands to do your work of healing and health among our friends and families and maybe even people we haven't met yet? God, can you set our hearts and minds on a day when you will give us new hearts and new bodies, and when we will rise anew, fresh, in our resurrected bodies with you. Father, thank you for your word. May you help us to obey you. I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.